It's time on the radio to listen to Bill Blevins from Blevins Franks. Hi there, Bill.
Hi, Howard. How are you?
I'm very well. Yourself?
Yeah, good, thanks. Very good.
Excellent. Now, we're going to talk today about cross-border financial planning. Now, this is tax and financial planning, of course, and it can be complex at the best of times. Is it fair to say that it's a lot more complex if you're an expatriate?
I think for most people, inevitably it is. You know, if you have decided to leave Blighty, let's just talk about UK expatriates for a moment, and relocate to an area, within the European Union, let's say, you're moving from one currency zone, sterling, to a completely different currency zone, the euro. And indeed, in addition to that, you're moving from a very well-established and in many cases archaic Anglo-Saxon style law into continental Europe, where most of the legal processes are still under what is known as the Napoleonic Code, and they operate on very different principles. And so when you speak to an intending expatriate or someone who's recently arrived, there is a sort of an understandable natural expectation that if Spain or France or Portugal or Cyprus tell you that you'll have to pay income tax or capital gains tax, that you think you have some kind of probable understanding of how that works, because you'll have based it upon your instinctive understanding of what applied in the UK. Sadly, in most cases, it's fundamentally and diametrically different to the UK, a different method of calculating for tax, a different timing at which to pay the tax, a different level of allowances against the tax. And in some cases, the double tax treaty confuses the matter even more. So, you know, one of the key issues, I think, that intending expatriates in particular, those people who haven't really sat down and done this exercise, need to do, is to actually sit down and understand how you need to reposition your financial affairs to match up to the demands of a new tax environment, recognising that you may still have assets in the old UK tax environment, and indeed at some point in time in the future you may even return there, or your money may return there, and the juxtaposition between those, that confluence of factors, needs to be taken into account when you're establishing your long-term future financial planning. If you don't do that, it's almost inevitable that you will end up paying a significant amount more tax than is due unto Caesar. It's a question of sitting down, making suitable arrangements in accordance with how you've adopted a new country of residence and in relation to your potential future liabilities. And when you have sat down and done that, you can start to live a much more carefree life, because in most cases, certainly with the services of Blevins Franks, we are almost in every single case that we see able to limit the amount of tax that individuals pay, and in many cases to eliminate it altogether.
Well, Bill, many expatriates, British living here, continue to own assets in the UK, while some also will have assets in a few different countries. Mm-hmm. And now with Brexit on the way too, would you say cross-border wealth management planning and advice is more important than ever?
Oh, I think it is. I think, even before Brexit, if you have chosen to live outside of the United Kingdom, where most expatriates who leave the UK move to a new country, wherever it is, they still continue to have a somewhat unrealistic but understandable loyalty to the pound sterling. And I would say that in most cases that we come across within our business, the vast majority of individuals who approach us have got the vast majority of their assets denominated in the pound sterling, and therefore at the vagaries of currency exchange rate movements. And so if you've moved into, if you like, a more international environment, then it's essential, in my opinion, that you move your assets too into a safer, more well-diversified currency mix to give you an international portfolio. We all know that sterling has suffered and been weak now since the Brexit referendum, for example, whereas for many of our clients, they will have, without question, a vast majority of our clients will have assets denominated in US dollars and assets denominated in euros, which have weathered the storm of currency sterling currency decline in the short term, and they can manage their portfolio much more effectively without suffering any losses due to currency movements, simply because they have taken on an international flavour within the investments that they own. And so whilst Brexit brings a new dimension to this, it's been an essential part of international wealth management that you have a properly diversified portfolio of currencies and of asset classes, so that you aren't, as you know, Cornell's expression, you haven't got all your eggs in one basket, and that your eggs are so well diversified with an intelligent approach to that level of diversification, how much you have where, that you can probably also increase your returns by having the right currency and the right asset mix at the right time.
So let's look at the various elements, starting with investments. What advice do you have for listeners who have cross-border interests on how to best structure their investment portfolio?
I think it is just simply about diversifying sensibly. I think Blevins Franks, we have a number of techniques, if you like, which are taught and learnt by our partners and senior partners over many years, and they're all, you know, qualified and regulated individuals, but we have regular ongoing improving training to bring about new techniques. We use, in terms of assessing clients' levels of risk, we use techniques devised by university dons, and the circumstances are such that what we're looking to do with that client, if he comes to us, is to try to work with the client's own understanding of where the client instinctively feels he sits on the risk spectrum, and then where he instinctively feels when we make proposals about how his investment mix ought to be put together. And of course, nothing that we do is ever 100% right, I would imagine. You know, we have to take to the client our own recommendations and listen to what the client has to say about what they think about those recommendations, and then manipulate them to make sure that we end up working in a partnership with the client over a basket of assets that sit comfortably within his risk spectrum, and at the same time give him international diversification, so that there is this opportunity of getting an increased level of return because you happen to be invested in the right currency at the right time.
So for our listeners in Spain, Bill, moving on to tax planning, I imagine it must be hard to follow the tax regimes of two or more countries and establish tax mitigation solutions for all of them.
Frankly, we have an area filled with tax experts, people who've qualified in tax planning and tax the understanding of tax in both the UK and Spain. And that's a specialist skill. And having that resource behind the advisors that you will meet out in the field with Blevins Franks means that the advisors come not only armed with their own skills and experience, which is substantial. Some of the advisors we have been, you know, working with Blevins Franks for almost 30 years. But they also have behind them highly detailed, very technical and competent tax planning staff who can bring another layer of expertise to their own expertise to give you the best of both worlds, a sensibly diversified, well-established portfolio of investments, and then bolting into or onto or with an appropriate tax planning arrangement that suits your personal circumstances. And so, you know, if you're going to make decent money out of your investments, the art of making even better money is to keep as much of it as possible. Of course, we should also all pay our taxes, and we all need to fund the general elements of the life. We all enjoy the utilities, the public services. Of course we should. But you should also be ensuring that you preserve most of your wealth for your next generation so that they can continue to sustain society with the investments and the funds that they have available.
Yeah. And then, of course, there's estate planning, which must be a minefield when it involves different countries. What are the various elements here, Bill, that people have to be aware of and plan for?
I think the single greatest problem here is that people believe that when they left the UK, they left death duties behind them. Well, in the vast majority of cases, I'm afraid that isn't true. The vast majority of British expatriates living in Spain, because they still retain what is known as a domicile of origin, they still therefore have a liability to UK inheritance tax on their worldwide assets. And even if they have acquired a new domicile of choice, their assets that they have left in the UK, even though the individual may have changed his domicile to a domicile of choice of Spain, for example, those assets in the UK still remain to be calculated for any liability to UK inheritance tax, because inheritance tax is payable by UK domiciles or property owned by a non-domicile which is itself domiciled in the UK. So it's a fairly serious trap. Now, the problem is that Spanish succession tax is just as spiteful, and the general double tax treaty, which covers income and capital gains taxes, does not cover UK inheritance tax or Spanish succession tax, and therefore you can end up being a domicile of origin of the UK, even though you may have lived in Spain for 20 years or even longer. And if you are a resident of Spain, you can be liable for Spanish succession tax as well on the same assets. There is a form of unilateral relief, but it's a complex and complicated arrangement that will leave your beneficiaries 2 or 3 years to sort out the mess. What you need to do is to sit down and get advice about where you are domiciled, where you're resident, and how you can configure your tax planning to ensure that you only have to pay tax, if any, in one jurisdiction of the, or the other. But in many, many cases, it's not too difficult to mitigate entirely the liability to both UK inheritance tax and Spanish succession tax with proper forward planning.
So if someone's moving from one country to another, could taking advice before they make that move make a difference to the tax and financial planning advantages they can receive?
That's a good question too, Howard. If everybody who planned to go and live in Spain came and saw Blevins Franks before they arrive in Spain, they would make our lives a lot easier, and they would make their lives a lot easier, and they would also find that their life on arrival would be much less expensive, because they won't have walked from the frying pan of tax liabilities in the UK to the fire of tax liabilities in Spain. If you are able to plan in advance of your departure from one country to another, preparing your affairs for your arrival in a new place so that they are in accordance with the tax rules of that new place is almost obviously, I suspect, going to mean that you're going to be a lot better provided for in terms of tax planning than if you arrive, become a resident with your assets out of sync with the tax regime into which you're moving, and finding yourself liable for all sorts of taxes that you might otherwise not need to pay.
Yeah, it's sort of common sense when you think about it, isn't it?
Just a bit, yeah.
Yeah. We always say, though, that taking advice is important and beneficial. But in this case, with the interaction of different tax regimes and succession laws, I think it's even more essential than usual. Are there many firms who can offer this level of expertise, Bill, with cross-border wealth management advice?
Well, I think, you know, when Blevins Franks set out in business to provide specialist wealth management tax planning advice to essentially British individuals living outside of the UK, I don't think we ever contemplated, when you're starting up a business, but back, you know, in the late 70s, when I first visited Spain, I felt that Spain was an enormous opportunity in order to give advice to individuals. But of course, the company, the business, and the number of expatriates living around continental Europe and further afield has grown exponentially over the last 35 years. I mean, Blevins Franks have, in the period of time in which it's been growing, and it continues to grow, a new partner appointed recently in the Altea region. But, you know, there aren't many firms who can offer the sort of seamless cross-border wealth management advice as Blevins Franks, with offices scattered around all the popular parts of Spain, the popular parts of France and Monaco, offices around Portugal, Cyprus, Malta, and of course, most importantly, if you like, an office in the United Kingdom, which will offer advice to anyone planning to go and live overseas, and which will also receive expatriates returning to the UK to make sure that their affairs are properly positioned to put them in a beneficial tax position once they return to the UK. So, you know, I'm very proud of what Blevins Franks is able to offer to expatriates, whether they remain expatriates for the remainder of their life or not.
Yeah. And how can people get in touch, Bill?
Yeah, I think if you go to the website, www.blevinsfranks.com, you'll find the whole list of international offices there. There is bound to be one reasonably close to where you are. If you'd like to be in touch to talk through the question of your own personal financial and tax planning, they'd be delighted to hear from you.
Many thanks for that, Bill. We'll talk again at the same time next week.
That's okay. It's a pleasure. Have a good week.
Thank you.